Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the Work With The Mouths movie podcast, known as Movie Lovers Unite. I have my good friend Soda here. I also have my friend Beck here. We're here to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine, and I cannot wait to get into this. We're going to do a spoiler review for it, so if you haven't seen Deadpool and Wolverine, then I suggest that you go on ahead, check yourself out of here, go to the theater, come back and watch this or listen to it on the podcast where you guys get your podcast from. But further ado, let's get on with the show. And hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Yeah, same here. It's been a while since I've done a review for a movie that when it comes out.
Right? Because normally I'm doing the nostalgia stuff, right, Soda? I'm always like doing the 90s to 2000s and seeing how it reflects today. Not today, though. We're talking about something fresh. We're talking about something new. We're talking about Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just thankful that I actually had a friend of mine that allowed me to go and see this with them and just like, hey, look, I got you a ticket. I'm like, okay, I'm in. So next thing I know it, I'm going to go see Deadpool and Wolverine. But my first initial thoughts whenever I first heard about this, I was sold instantly because Hugh Jackman is going to be in this movie. You have Ryan Reynolds back. It's going to be the first R-rated movie in the MCU. And it is so fucking good. This movie is fantastic. I laughed my ass off throughout this whole entire movie. It was hard not to laugh at everything. And I was laughing my ass off through the whole entire thing of 2 hours. And that didn't even feel like the runtime to me doesn't even feel that long. But, you know, just the overall thing of Ryan Reynolds and the TVA showing up at the very beginning of this film. And then you instantly know what this plot line is about. You instantly know that he's actually trying to find balance and trying to bring that anchor in to fix his own timeline. But what did you guys think of the movie and stuff like that?
Well, you know, that's how the Deadpool movies go. They drop you into the action and then it's kind of freeze frame. Hey, you're wondering how I got here. And so, you know, that they jump right immediately into the action. It's an immediate hook, you know, digging up Wolverine's adamantium skeleton. That is, I mean, that's going to become an iconic thing, you know. And using every single bit of his body as a weapon. He's just like, I will give you my weapons, but I promise not to use them. However, I do have this. So 206 weapons right here. So no, that was just great.
207 if he's watching Gossip Girl.
Yeah,
right.
Nice one.
And then having him dance to Bye 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 by NSYNC just puts the icing on the cake. It's never in my life that I ever liked that song up until I heard Deadpool using it. I'm like, okay, this is my jam now. This is what I'm going to be jamming out to in the car, and I don't care.
You see the appeal. But,
yeah. But, you know, I like that whole entire aspect. Oh, he can't be dead. He's not dead. Look, and then it goes, Jack. And he winds up hitting the Animanium skull with his shovel. He goes, yeah, he's dead.
It's like, hey, that's weird. I'm calm now.
Which happens a few times this movie, it turns out.
Oh my god! The whole skipping ahead on it. The whole.
No! We don't have to go scene by scene. We're just gonna geek out on our stuff.
No, just the whole montage of going through all the different Logans. The one that was short. I'm like, finally, comic accurate.
Comic accurate Logan. Yeah. Now everyone will see just how ridiculous it looks.
Yes. Now they're going to be like, you know what? I don't need to see it now. And I don't want to go by accuracy as far as the comic books. Because it does like look five, stupid. Is that Beck? I'm sorry.
Isn't he supposed to be like 5 foot nothing or something like that?
Shorter than that or whatever. He's tiny.
Yeah. He's almost legally.
Shorter than my mother. That's all I know.
No, dude. And then, you know, Cavill.
Yeah. Henry Cavill showing up as one of the.
Cavalrania, God.
That, I mean, talk about a too tall Wolverine. He just grew 3 feet.
Yeah, that's true. Wide, of course.
Yeah. No, I don't know. There was so much. I think I probably snorted in the theater a couple of times because I was laughing so hard. But I enjoyed it. And we had actually just watched the second one. We started it last night and it got too late. We finished it this morning. And I'm glad we did, because we actually saw the second one in theaters. And I feel like when I saw it, the after credit scene cut off after Negasonic Teenage Warhead threw him the watch. I never saw him go through the timelines and kill the other Deadpool.
Oh, that was definitely
Saint Peter.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But we saw it this morning and we're like, that feels like context. So we go into this, so we knew about him fucking the timeline, but we watched it this morning on Disney Plus, so that was good to have that fresh right as we were going into it.
I like how he also mentions like Loki season one.
Yeah, Loki season one, episode 5 is here.
Right. I like how he mentions that as a context, and also too, I like how they had like that one bad guy who's actually in charge of the TVA, which is supposed to be like a Kevin Feige kind of character who represents Disney, and how that's how I pictured it in my head. Where
there is a resemblance.
What's that?
There is a small resemblance.
Yeah, that's how I was picturing in my head though, man. I was like, I'm picturing basically Deadpool trying to save his universe, which is also our universe, and how we look at things. And we have the production company who's trying to get involved and take away things that we loved from it. And he's trying to save the things that we love, that we know that we love about it. So that's how I looked at it from that perspective. And I was like, I was just laughing and having a good time with it. And of course, you know, whenever he gets shoved into the other world where things are left over from things that nobody likes or anything, you have the Star Wars stuff in the background. You also had some of the other Fox 20th Century stuff.
You had the helicarrier.
Yeah.
There was the helicarrier. There was the Milano. There was, I really didn't recall seeing the Star Wars stuff.
I think I did. I think I'd seen a Star Wars.
That's going to be a scene that you just got to stop it frame by frame and look at the background.
Your rock stars somehow have access to the movie because they've already done an Easter egg video and Star Wars was never once brought up.
Really? Okay, maybe I might be getting something, maybe something crossed that looks like I resemble something from Star Wars, but it may not be Star Wars.
Now, was that the Black Pearl that they walked by?
Yes, that's one of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's the Pirates of the Caribbean ship. I was just like, wait a minute, I know that ship.
I thought that was interesting.
Oh, man. And then, of course, Johnny Storm showing up, which I don't know what noise I made, but I know I could not contain myself when the cape came off and it was revealed that he wasn't Johnny.
The first time I saw it, I've said they're going, that voice sounds very familiar. And all of a sudden you see him, I'm like, huh. But right away I'm like, that's not Cap. And all of a sudden when he gets the lead up, I'm like, oh, flame on. Like I'm actually audibly saying this in the fucking theater going, flame on, flame on, flame on. And he did it. It was like, woo-hoo!
I think I'm like, yes. And like my wife, she's never seen the Fantastic Four movies, and like we were okay, so the thing with RDJ yesterday, they were talking about him becoming Von Doom. And okay. So I was explaining to my wife, I was like, look, Chris Evans was Johnny Storm before he was Cap. When they announced he was Cap, I was so upset because he was Johnny. Now, looking back, I'm glad because no one could play Cap like Chris Evans.
Me
too.
Chris Evans is Captain Frickin' America. But so just to have had just last night, I was telling her about that. And then we go in there and she's just like, oh, wait, I know this fun fact.
That's cool that you actually were able to tell her something that you didn't know that was actually in the movie and everything too. And it just how happens to be it landed that way.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that they were going to go with the flame on thing. I don't think they would actually go with Captain America or anything like that. I think they would have,
they would have done Captain America because he said he's done playing Captain America.
Right. But he didn't say he was done playing Johnny Storm either. So,
there was a cap shield in the sand right before he showed up.
I didn't notice that.
Was there? I know there was the cap shield earlier in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there was a cap shield in Happy's office. Oh, but
that's right. Yes, you're right. There is with the original cap shield.
I didn't see it.
I didn't notice it the first time. It's half buried.
It's a blink and you miss it.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna have to check it out then.
The original shield. Mm-hmm.
But I just thought the thing within Happy's office though was funny though too, where he's over there busting Happy's balls. He goes, "So you're just a chauffeur, right? So." So what are you going to do?
What's your superpower? Pillow party?
And even that's filled with fucking Easter eggs.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the Mobius strip from the under. You've got the briefcase from Iron Man 2. You've got the proto shield. You've got the Mach 2 helmet on display. And then there's callbacks to the fucking other movies. There's like the weird little fucking pendulum.
Yes, when Pepper was in charge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's even that's there.
Yeah. I noticed that right away. It was behind Happy.
Yeah. No, they really went all out with the Easter eggs in this one.
This movie was one big Easter egg hunt.
100%. It was a love letter to Fox by way of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And this isn't me reading into something. That's actually Ryan Reynolds' words. I was watching a video on TCM yesterday, where he was the guest programmer, and one of the movies he chose was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and he said outright, "This is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles." Hugh Jackman is the Steve Martin character.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
Even though I see more Hugh Jackman as like a combination of both, but even like right down to the mounted the Canadian mounted book that makes an appearance in all those movies, Ryan Reynolds deliberately does that for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He pays the fee to Paramount out of his own pocket to get that prop into the movie. Yeah.
I can see that though, because seriously, if you think about it under the context, I just want to get him home. We just want to go home. So that's basically Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So I definitely understand how he did that. I love that part. There's also the part where they get trapped inside the ball and everything, and then Chris Evans is in there with him. And then he's talking shit about the main villain. He's like,
not everything.
But I just thought that was hilarious. And then she winds up taking the skin right off of him, and he's nothing but Ellen Bone. Okay,
so let's talk about that for a second, because I'm assuming you two did stay at the very end of the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
And so let's watch the tape.
That was fucking priceless. Because like knowing that and then reviewing this scene in hindsight, you can definitely tell they're playing it like, yes, he did actually say this. Like Chris Evans' reaction is definitely somebody who's like, oh shit, I got caught. Deadpool just goes on this very specific tirade that gets Chris Evans' skin ripped off, and wowzers.
He's like, but did you know what he was doing to the budget?
Yeah, right? the very end. See, just to prove you fuckers wrong.
There's been a lot of blame on me for Jonah's death.
But even like in here, you've got that's the guy who played Pyro in X2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Tyler Bain, X1.
Yeah.
That's even Ray Park as Toad. Like, they brought so many people back.
Fucking Blade.
Yeah.
Yes. I hate that.
X23.
And
but who's this? Because Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes did not get along.
No, that's really what I was going to bring up.
That was the joke of the movie, but because of, Blade Trinity.
Because he would always tell, "Hey, do you ever just shut the fuck up?" I still remember the behind the scenes stuff. He goes, "Do you ever just shut the fuck up?" And I'd say, and so basically, him and that was like behind the scenes. And I wasn't sure. I was like, "Oh, Wesley Snipes is going to be." I said, "There's no way they're going to get Wesley Snipes to play this character again, especially with Ryan Reynolds being into the mix."
Yeah.
But it seemed like right now is the right time for Wesley to actually come into it because of the fact he has nothing else going on. Mm-hmm. And he needs a boost. So this is actually a perfect way to boost it. Not only that, but it would be cool if Kevin Feige's like, you know what? We're not going to go on ahead and just kick Wesley Snipes to the curb and not be Blade or be anything connected into Blade. I would like to actually see him be Wesler and be recasted as Wesler, someone to teach the new Blade something. Or just have or you just go on ahead and scrap the original plan and just do like an older Blade.
Yeah,
and do it that way. So I'm happy with either one if they chose to do it that way. But I thought that was actually pretty cool to actually have him in there. You also have Channing Tatum as Gambit in this movie, which I remember not liking the idea of it and stuff like that.
But then just yeah.
I'll say it. His accent was actually spot on.
It was.
You so rarely see a good Cajun accent in film. I'm Cajun. Most of my family, their first language is Cajun French. My papa said the nuns beat the French out of him in school. That's how he learned English. But like that was a actual good Cajun accent. It did not make me cringe out of my
skin. Right down to the not understanding certain things.
Yes. Right down to the slightly inappropriate allusions.
Who was your dialect coach? Was it the Minions?
Yes. Like, he nailed that shit. I don't know how, but he did. He nailed it.
Well, I mean, like, that role to him is what Deadpool was to Ryan Reynolds. So, I mean, that was surprising.
Chance to Redemption.
Well, no, not just that. That was his dream project.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, yeah, none of that actually surprises me.
Because remember, they were actually about to actually start production, and then the company was like...
production. That's the thing. Like, they were finally on their way, and then the sale killed it.
Right, and so this is actually Ryan Reynolds' way of saying, hey, look, your dream may be dead, but I'm going to go on ahead and put your dream into here and be part of this adventure with us. So I thought that was actually a little bit of a love letter to Channing Tatum. It's like, hey, look, it's all right, buddy. I'll go ahead. I'll flip the dollar, and you guys can be in here. And the special effects were so damn good for Gambit. Because Gambit is hands down my favorite character in X-Men. And just seeing that card, the way it lit up, and then seeing the baton and stuff, I was like geeking out in the theater. I was about to lose my shit.
That was the character I always wondered if they could properly adapt it, and they fucking did.
Yeah. Right. You put cards on everybody that...
But it was so good. And then you also have Elektra in this as well. They also talk shit about...
Daredevil shot. Daredevil. Oh, sorry about Daredevil. That's okay. So, yeah, you've got, the Deadpool core. Let's go off for those. You know who voiced Liddypool?
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
100%. Rumor is she was also on the suit. Do you know who voiced Headpool?
No.
Nathan Fillion,
yeah. Which I obviously didn't catch it the first time, the second time, I'm like, okay, I can hear it.
Yeah.
Who voiced Cowboy Cool?
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Fucking Matthew McConaughey. I can't believe they got that. And I love that they shouted out Wrexham FC with fucking Welsh Pool.
Yeah. Now, Baby Pool and Kid Pool were the Reynolds children.
Were his kids, yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you got quite an interesting set there. You had a Samurai Deadpool, you had Deadpool 2099, Golden Age Deadpool,
Deadpool,
my god. Didn't like him the first time I came around on him, I said a little bit better the second time. But easily the best joke that he did in the movie is I too can slightly puncture the fourth wall. The proposal.
I'm just like, is that it? Is that the whole line?
We're good. Yeah.
You see, I like how that failed, and then I like how Deadpool winds up calling him out on that because it's supposed to feel like that. So I thought that was actually pretty cool on how to actually do the meta. He did the meta right on that.
Yeah.
But I also like the music with this, though, too, where you actually had Olivia Newton-John's and John Travolta's song playing as you're killing each other inside the Honda.
Three great songs that played every time those two were in a fight. You had Hell's Bells the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You had You're the One That I Want the second time. And then you had Like a Prayer for the big third act fight. Like, holy shit, that's quite a set.
Yeah.
I agree. And you know what, though? I know that they had the Greatest Showman as the on the soundtrack.
But because the way people were talking about it, I thought it would have been in there more instead of just the 2 seconds we got.
Yeah, because like I'm a musical nerd too. I love The Greatest Show.
Ditto.
Like, and Hugh Jackman, the fact that he has such a wide creative range,
which he even made fun of in the movie as well, where it's like at one point, like I'll get him to sing the whole second act of The Music Man without notice.
Yeah, with no warm-up. And so like that split. Oh, like I was about to come out of my chair.
I like the way it was used, but like I said, because people were making such a big deal about it going into it, because there was chatter about it because the soundtrack was released, I thought it would have been in there more, but it ended up working perfectly in probably what was my favorite fight scene, actually.
Yeah.
Was like that it. One. Especially like with it. The end, fucking, they both passed out and Deadpool's wrapped up in all the fucking seatbelts.
Just mummified in seatbelts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like it whenever he tells Wolverine, he goes, you're going to do this until you
that came up.
Oh, time out. People have been waiting for decades. Oh, fuck. That was crazy. God, that was the biggest laugh the second time.
Yeah.
They're going to make him do this till they're 90. And did anyone else notice how well equipped Peter is? Holy shit, was that sticking out in the suit?
Bro, what you got? What you pack?
Smuggling a salami, that's what he's doing.
It's like, y'all enjoy the Peter.
Yeah.
Man. Now,
I was going to say, did we talk about the fucking Deadpool, the Wolverine variants we saw? Like the rest of them besides a comic accurate?
Yeah, no, we didn't go through them all. We also did, Tom Hardy was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Wasn't Tom Hardy one of them where basically...
The only one that was different was the Henry Cavill one. We got the Apocalypse
one. Okay, for some reason, I thought that Tom Hardy was one of the variants because there was a rumor at one time that he was supposed to be Wolverine and stuff like that. I remember chatter about that, but...
That's what the Cavill thing was.
Okay. So it was Cavill that was actually ribbing the motorcycle and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
But there was also Matt Logan. There was the John Byrne. What was it? The John Byrne Wolverine, the one in the black, brown, and yellow suit with fucking Hulk. I think I already mentioned old Ben Logan, but then you got that iconic X-Men cover with him on the fucking axe.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, I can't believe they went there with that one. And of course, we got Patch.
Yeah. And then the one in the alley.
Yeah, the Agent Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Fever Dream Wolverine is another one that we got.
Which one's
right? The Fever Dream Wolverine, which is the one where it's on the X.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that's based on the comic book cover. Like, it's an iconic X-Men cover.
With all the skulls.
With all the skulls, yeah.
Yep. And then the Age of Apocalypse, we have that one.
One with the one arm, yeah. No, they gave us fucking everything, pretty much. The only thing they didn't give us was Japanese.
Yeah. we didn't get Japanese Logan.
Yeah.
But no, I think the one that he wound up with, of course, was perfect.
Obviously
fit the story the best. But no, it was just... Now, speaking of Peter, and now he's from the original X-Force and Deadpool 2. I thought it was notable that Russell and Domino weren't involved at all, like even in the family birthday party.
So I watched kind of Funny's interview on that, and they brought it up. That was mentioned, but somebody was just like, but Domino in the second movie says she goes where her luck takes her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's done with them.
There's
no reason for her to be there, right?
Yeah, she didn't want to stay with X-Force.
Yeah.
And then I did get to thinking that at the end of Deadpool 2, when he's dying, that fifth or sixth time that he tries to die that movie, he tells Russell, your family's out there, you have to go find them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you're my family, you have to stay with me. So I did think of that later, but I just thought it was interesting. Like, Weasel wasn't even in this one.
Well, that's because of TJ Miller.
Yeah. Right. But I would have actually thought that Cable would at least be in there for an appearance, because I would love to have him back.
Well, they made the joke out when they used with Happy Hogan. It's just like those guys, just like you
didn't test well.
Better, they didn't test well, especially Cable. So yeah, the one that actually surprised me was Shadowstar?
Shatterstar, yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is he doing there?
I saw his hair was braided. Did he go back and braid his hair so he didn't wind up in the helicopter blades?
Maybe.
Because that's what got him killed in the first instance, because his hair wrapped around his face, he couldn't see where he was going.
Mm-hmm. But no, that surprised me because nobody liked him. But see him again and the same guy.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, being a romantic, I was a little heartbroken that him and Vanessa hadn't stayed together.
But for the plot, it made sense.
Yeah,
right.
For the plot, it made sense. But I feel like, you know, for them, given their history in the first two movies, it didn't. Just because they had gone through so much together to get to that point, like, and like she had finally forgiven him for leaving her when he was
right. Gone. But think about it this way: maybe he played with time too so much that it kind of altered things.
Yeah.
How many times did he go back? How many times did he abuse it? Like it was mentioned in this movie, he abused it. So how many times did he do it, and what effect did it have?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And that's something that I thought that was interesting too, that him and Vanessa are not even together or anything. And then I'm like, okay, I wish that they would be like back. But then again, with plot and stuff like that, it actually does make sense because he's trying to find a purpose of what he's doing. He's trying to find himself. And so he tries to find himself in the Avengers where he's trying to say, well, I need them. Well, it's not about you needing them. It's about
if you need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the moment in the movie where it's just like, hey, give me the dog, talk to the girl. And he says to her, it's like, sorry, I did this for you. Even if you don't want me yet, I did this for you. And I'm like, well, like, that was a really good moment.
Yeah.
It got me more in the second movie. Because the first viewing, so I saw it Thursday night. I had a hard day at work. So I think I was a little tired. So I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it as much. Whereas this one, I got to actually understand the movie a little more and enjoy those moments. And so, like I said, for me, at the end, when he tells her, like, I did it for you, even if you're not ready.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ready to, you know, for to take me back yet? I did it for you. And she grabs his hand. It's like, okay, they're on their way.
They're working on it.
Yeah, they're working on it.
And the other thing, though, too, is like I was geeked out when finally Wolverine puts the mask on.
Yes. But it looks weird.
It does look weird, and this is also why it should not happen. This is another reason why.
I wouldn't
adaptations.
I would have gone more the route of a Batman cowl. Like that style, not as bulky, not like a fucking motorcycle helmet. I would have done it more like an actual cowl.
Yeah. Right. But then you're supposed to be like, you're telling me that was just tucked up under the neck of his shirt the whole time?
So in the first 5 minutes that he said he appeared in that costume, on the second viewing, I was trying to find where the fuck the cowl was.
Yes. Because that was
funny though, because even Deadpool says, "Oh, you'd save the good stuff for special occasions."
Yeah.
Well, that and then like you know his mask. Every time he takes it off, it's just a piece of cloth. Deadpool's mask, and then and then when Peter takes it off, it's a helmet.
Yeah, it's like why he doesn't need a helmet,
right? Which maybe Peter does.
I definitely would have. I wouldn't even gone with the white eyes either. I would have done his eyes.
Yeah,
but it was just. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Let's fucking go. It just looks weird.
It does. It looks kind of weird.
Over 20 years of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine without it too. So that's also a thing.
Well. Right. So I guess they were like, if we're going comic accurate, we're going comic fucking accurate.
Yeah. Like kudos to them. Finally.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like Deadpool said when he went to grab him and saw it, it's like it took them 20 fucking years.
Yeah. He's like, oh, these are some interesting jammies.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about the layers that they had in this? Like, you had you know, Ant-Man, his body as a layer. And I'm like,
oh Paul Rudd has
finally aged.
That was a great joke. Fuck it. That got a good laugh, both feelings.
My other question was this. Okay, where Elektra, Blade, and all of them are at, what layer is that? Because I'm thinking it might be Iron Man back whenever he was in the cave, but I'm like, I'm not sure if they would actually go that route because that was overseas.
I was just thinking that just a random cave where they just kind of like collected stuff, because as you see in that one shot, that's the statue or whatever from, was it from Multiverse of Madness? Yeah, it was from Multiverse of Madness. I just took it as it was a cave where they were just making
his
own. Right, and there was like a little pond or pool in the middle of it
too. Yeah.
Like, that wasn't an Iron Man's cave.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Like, I was just trying to analyze the cave as in the layers.
I did wonder that the first viewing, but then I just realized it was probably just some random cave.
I feel like
they have to make do, right?
I feel like this movie is going to turn out to be one of those like old I Spy books where you find something new single time you look at it.
Yeah, 100%. And that's a movie like this, that's the way it should be.
Exactly. Because I remember my friend Brandon, he was like, look, I'm going to have to come back again and see this for a second time just to look at the Easter eggs itself. The Easter eggs is why you go back. And to also laugh your ass off even more.
Yeah.
Like I said to you guys before, I ended up seeing Deadpool 1 and 2 twice. Mm-hmm. I've also owned both movies, but I went to the theater to see part 1 and part 2 twice. Because the first time was for fun. The second time was for the Easter eggs from old times. But this one had Easter eggs within Easter eggs to the point where you're going to miss out everything.
Yes.
Because you're so in tune with what Wade is trying to say. And it winds up, and then you wind up forgetting about all the Easter eggs, just focusing on what Deadpool's
overwhelming. Even the jokes are deep. There was a joke in there that, like, the first viewing, you could hear it. It took the audience a few seconds, and that's just when he's like, and they asked why he's wearing the suit, and it's just because, you know, he's let himself go since the divorce. They actually took a shot at Hugh Jackman's divorce, which was happening during the filming. I'm like, oh, fuck! I can't believe you went there.
And then at one point, I think Wolverine's on top of Deadpool. He's like, I'm telling Blake.
Yeah. But I also like how Blake goes, there's only one Blake. And then I like how Deadpool just looks at him, like, looks out at us like, But then you also have the Lady in Red song being played while the dog is coming. I thought that would actually be set up for Lady Pool and him for some reason, but to have the dog, though, I thought that was pretty funny.
The dog was perfect. Yeah. He was way more into the dog than he would have been into Lady Pool.
Yeah. I love it at the end when the dog runs up and he's like, oh, great.
You survived.
Even Wolverine warmed up to the dog.
Yeah.
It's like that. Right. And then I also like it too when he takes nice pool and then.
I was just thinking about that. How long is it taking to regenerate? To what?
I'm gonna live.
Yeah, the one fucking Deadpool that doesn't have regenerative healing properties.
Yeah, and then that throws you off because then they immediately just show him and Wolverine cutting their way through all these down the street,
right.
And I'm like, are they stay dead? And then
it's just one
zombies.
But the best part, rewind just a little bit, is after fucking Deadpool makes that cross, Wolverine just holding the fucking dog, just...
Because they're not going to shoot
him. Old fire. And he gets back to fucking Deadpool trying to resuscitate the other one.
Yes. We're going to lose him.
Hounding on a headless nice pool.
And Logan's just looking at him like...
You really are God's perfect idiot, aren't you?
Yeah, they slipped in a lot of those little lines in there.
And then the X-23 cameo I thought worked really well to actually help balance out the new Wolverine, which is the one that's supposed to be the anchor for the timeline. And then liked how she said, well, you never were supposed to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You are who you are.
You never
and
were
you also
right guy
does.
Were,
yeah. Right, exactly.
That's one cameo I wish they'd that they had left out of the promotional material. It would have been nice to have a surprise for that one. But
yeah.
And I do agree. I think it would have been nice for that instead of them announcing it at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I feel like this. You didn't need to have the announcement of who's playing who at Comic-Con when you already have the movie out or anything. That's how I feel about it. You already have enough with RGJ making the appearance of Dr. Doom. You don't have to go on ahead and say, hey, look, Human Torch, and then announcing everybody like an assembly line. We know. We're going to go out and see it. You don't have to announce it to the world. And the people at San Diego Comic-Con probably already seen the movie, too. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
X-23. Because she is, as we find out that Logan is anchor. Mm-hmm. Emotional core, right? So
right. Yeah. But I also like how he brings Logan into the TVA, though. He goes, okay, I fixed the problem.
Face down, dead drunk.
I would have rejected any other Deadpool, but this one, you outdid yourself. This one's the worst.
And he also said,
Logan.
And he also said this, too. He goes, you thought you would actually could fix the problem by putting another Logan in his place because of the fact that he's the anchor for the timeline. Mm. It does not work that way.
Mm. Yeah, because first Deadpool's like, y'all don't understand mutant healing abilities. Let me go dig him up. Oh,
yeah.
Fucking metal skeleton.
Let's not forget the fucking three scenes with the character Ralph.
Yeah.
The guy in the TVA, the one he's accusing of, you know, eyeballing him, and it turns out, hey, those were great callbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's also this other thing, too, because where Deadpool was about to land on the other guy for looking at him kind of strange, he goes, oh, you look like a single man's wife or something like that. And he winds up falling right, what looked like he was going to fall on top of him until he ended up traveling into another timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so, where we
snack his snacked his mug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when we get to the Logan stuff or the rerun at the beginning, which is a must in these fucking movies. And then we get to catch up where we see all the different Wolverines, too, which we never really mentioned, the power of love. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, why not?
Feeling, if you're going to go back in time, you have to at least have Power of Love on the soundtrack, even though it was a callback to Back to the Future. But you need to have that for that kind of movie.
Because of where
it's legally required.
Pretty much. Yeah. You do time travel the movie, you have to do Back to the Future somehow. But no, because of where he is in the world, 50, our friend saw it before us. So he had mentioned to me that there was a scene that he knows Ben would have appreciated. I'm like, oh, I know when I see these, like, no, when you hear it. And then when I heard Power of Love's, like, well, Back to
the Future. He made me automatically think of Ben.
Yeah, exactly. Favorite movie. So it's the guy, gotcha. Okay. Thanks, 50.
You know what, though? It's kind of like Ben was with us for that moment, you know, totally. In the theater with us.
Oh, really? Well, he already saw it.
Yep. In case anybody doesn't know who Ben is one of our friends of the channel and the podcast as well. He actually did a Back to the Future review with me back whenever I got the channel back up and running again. And he passed away back in what, 2022?
2 years this December.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, rest in peace, Ben. We're thinking about you all the time. But you know, this movie, it's so damn good to the point where I'm like, I'm ranking where I land with this. This is hands down one of my favorite movies of the year so far. But I also like how he says I like how Blade winds up quoting that famous line, some motherfuckers are still trying to ice skate uphill. I just thought that line was clever. Everything that we know that we would love and geek out over, Ryan Reynolds knew what to pull from and knew what to do. Also, too, you also have the X-Men 2 cast. You also have Last Stand. You have Armadillo Head, which is also, and I'm calling that Armadillo Head, which is supposed to be Juggernaut, which I cannot stand that version of Juggernaut.
And after we just had the giant-ass Juggernaut in Deadpool 2.
Yes. And that was comic book accurate. And it's bad that...
Yeah, this was homage to the movie. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like how all they had to do was just cut off where the ankles are, and he just falls down and he gets the hell on it.
Like, how if his ankles were... How did he walk and turn and... whatever.
Yeah.
But another thing, though, too, is I was thinking to myself, it wouldn't cool if you said, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. And then he just calls me. Like, that was perfect.
Yeah. But we also had homages in that scene to other villains, which I didn't know about until I watched some videos online. But the guy in the red striped shirt is a version of the Kevin Nash Russian from the Punisher.
That's what I thought it was. Okay. Yeah.
And then there is a variant, an African-American variant of Deadshot that look, Deadshot, the one from, not Deadshot, Bullseye.
Okay.
That's like looks, except for the skin color, of course, but looks like outfit wise from the Daredevil movie.
And then, I'm never going to remember her name, but the claws from each finger.
Lady, Deathstrike. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And it was Lady something.
Somebody said that it was the same actress for the next two, and I don't think it is.
Now, speaking of bringing back same actors, I know that they were bringing back all the same actors, but I was pleasantly surprised that they actually got Jennifer Garner for Elektra, because you know how rare it is for an older actress, not an older actor, an older actress, to get work in a role where she's like a sexy superhero.
Well, right. Well, not only that, but also, too, with Elektra not being successful at the box office at the time, mm-hmm. and people talking shit because of how because of the direction and the writing of it, you know, I wasn't sure if she was going to come back because of that.
Right.
You know what?
She would have been better if not there.
The way the world was script, I understand. It pretty much, it gives the character like that the farewell it's supposed to, which is what it is with these three characters. Right?
Right.
And even Gambit kind of hints at it. It's like, nobody knows me. Like, I don't even know if I was supposed to happen or anything, right?
Yeah.
So,
he's like, I might have been born here. I don't know shit.
The plot of the movie, it also reflects the actual, like, real world journey those characters went on as well. So I don't blame them for coming back.
Me either. And also, too, Deadpool's message. Legacy.
Ending. Legacy. Right. Now, and
I'm then surprised that the creative decision to bring her in was made. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times, like I said, they're going to have Hugh Jackman playing Deadpool Wolverine until he's 90. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is going to ride this into the ground, as well he should. You know, he's mm-hmm. made, this is his brand now. But it's just rarer to see an older woman. And I'm not saying, you know, Jennifer Garner is decrepit or ancient or anything. Yeah, but in Hollywood terms, she's approaching retirement age.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, in normal cases, that would be so. But I mean, like, this is the her version of that character. So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, I do get what you're saying, because yeah, you're right. Outside of her and Michelle Pfeiffer, you don't really see that many.
Yeah,
no, you don't. You really don't see that at old and seasoned of an actress mm-hmm. getting work, unless they actually want to cast her like as a grandmother or something like that, for example.
Dude, they recently cast Melissa Joan Hart as a grandmother, and I'm like, just put me in the fucking ground.
Right. Other than the Wonder Woman movies.
Right.
Think about that. The main Amazons, those are older, well-established actresses.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They are very well-seasoned.
Robin Wright.
Yeah, Robin Wright Penn, yeah.
Which... I grew up on the Princess Bride. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. And between her and Princess Leia, seeing your childhood princesses grow up to be generals, that's something that hits different. I know we're not talking about Deadpool right now, but still.
But sorry.
Still, it goes coincide with everything that we're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But no, this, I'm going to have to see it again. We don't go out to the movies much, but we have seen all three Deadpools in theaters. But I'm definitely looking forward to watching this again.
Same here. This is, yeah.
I agree with you guys. It is worth going to see second time at theaters, because now that you've got like the fanboying of it out of the way, like I said earlier, it's easy to take in the movie and notice those Easter eggs and like, oh, how well the scene is acted and stuff like that. So yes, go see it again in theaters.
Yep. So I definitely recommend anyone that hasn't seen this movie, at least go out there and see it again and support it. Because it definitely has a rewatchability of watching it, even if you're not going for Easter eggs, going for the laughs or whatever. Support this movie. There's a reason why this movie is making bank right now.
Yeah.
And it's so good. The writing is good. It's original. It's something that is unique in itself. It plays off the meta very well. It knows its target audience, knows its identity, knows everything that we want from it, and delivers that 110%. At least for us, it does. But, you know, I'm trying to think if there's like anything else as far as I wanted to talk about, because there's just so much meat to actually eat on. And I want to keep on eating it. It's so good.
I will say,
even when reset.
Yeah, then you're an invented farmer. Do you know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I thought Deadpool said, though? I thought he said trauma. I said, do you want to go eat some trauma?
I thought he said churros. I thought he said churros. So, okay. But apparently he said shawarma.
Well.
But then Deadpool sacrificing himself. That was also something that was funny, though, too, was they're both taking turns at sacrificing each selves and stuff like that. And Logan goes, look, man, I have more to... What was that?
I said, Marvel Jesus.
And then he goes down. Then he's acting like his Wait, awesome powers going it. Down the stairs. And
and what I want to know is how realistically did they think one man was going to be able to reach both of those pylons?
Yeah.
Right.
Before it was clear that Wolverine was going to be able to break the door down, I was kind of expecting Deadpool to grab one of his katanas to reach the other one.
Mm.
That would have been interesting, because it would actually act as a conduit to be, you know what I'm saying, electricity. Because
I was just like, there's no way he's going to get it with his hand, but maybe if he grabs his sword, he could reach it.
But then you have Wolverine that's like, you know what, we're both going to do this. And I liked how asshole comes in there and goes, yeah, they both sacrificed the goodness of their hearts and they did everything.
They were my friends.
And then his friend was an old happy day. Oh, for fuck's sake. So they like, again, with the same joke. Like, I think it was like four times he got that joke in the movie and it was great every time.
Right? Because usually I get tired of the same beat for beats of something. I'm like, okay, I get the joke. You don't have to keep on slamming it. But like, it's the delivery and how they do it differently that's
Works. Earlier in the movie, one of the other ones, it's like, what are you trying to figure out when he hears about the fourth person? And he's like, oh, is it Magneto? Oh, Magneto's like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's what Disney skimps out.
This is hands down great.
Oh,
yeah. But is there anything else that you guys want to touch on as far as the movie goes?
No, go see it in theaters. One of the ones.
Yeah, I am going to go. Yeah, I don't know if I'll pay for 3D again. Now, seeing it in 3D, have y'all seen it in 3D?
No,
I'm just seeing it in 2D. I'm not.
It was worth seeing it in 3D once. Now,
it was.
Granted, we go to the cheap little movie theater down in Bakken, so two 3D tickets was only $20. But
right, but no, I've been to that theater.
Yeah,
I'm lucky. I have a mom and pop theater, so it's only $10 for me to go see it.
Yeah, it was $10 a piece for 3D tickets, so not so bad, but. Seeing it in 3D was a lot of fun, but I definitely will try to go see it again. I know I'm going to watch it again, even if I do wait for it to streaming, but I probably wouldn't do 3D again. But 3D was fun. They did the 3D very well. You know, you got claws in your face. You got bullets flying. That was done very well.
I bet the shot where they jumped out of the bus looked pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. And then he just nailed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it. I thought he was going to remember.
But yeah. Guys, here's the thing, though, too. I've drove like an hour and 24 minutes away from my house to go see this movie because one of my friends bought tickets. Wow. So, yeah, my wife was like, I was like, look, we're going to go next weekend. So next weekend, I'm going to go out and see this movie again.
Nice.
Because even though it's not my jam, but I want to check it out because I feel like I need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. But let's talk about this, though, before we wrap up. The very ending where we actually have Good Riddance by Green Day playing. Yeah. And you have all the stuff from all the generations of X-Men and the comic books.
Yeah.
This made me cry because of the fact of over 30-plus years of us having this, even though the movies might not be that great, mm-hmm. is the fact that these actors were having fun on the set they loved.
Yeah, I definitely smiled when I saw it. I didn't see it during the credits the second time. But yeah, no, I definitely smiled, and it was nice, and I liked that they had they had interviews with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman from the very first time they played these characters. So that was nice to see. Ryan and me of fucking high school.
It definitely pulls on that high school nostalgia.
Well, that was definitely a class reunion song.
100%. Well, that's the song that played when we walked down the aisle at my graduation.
I'm pretty sure that was my last song.
Oh, yeah. If you're of a certain age, 100%.
You see, for me, I had Blink-182's Miss You instead.
Oh, no.
Kenny Chesney's I Go Back was my class song. I grew up.
Really? What year did y'all graduate?
I graduated in 06.
04.
Oh, five. Oh, five. Holy fuck.
I see we have different generations.
Yeah.
But anyways, guys, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Go on ahead, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. Also, too, you guys might want to tune in on the 30th. I actually have actor Jake Jensen coming by. He played in a little movie called Challengers that came out back in April with Zendaya. I'm going to be interviewing him Friday at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For that interview, I cannot wait to dive into this. I actually watched the movie. I liked it, I can't wait to actually dive into it. Then I actually have my friend Vernon from It Is What It Is podcast coming in on August 14th for a True Lies 30th anniversary review, and of course, don't forget our House of the Dragon reviews on Wednesday nights. We have two episodes left, so that's going to be, of course, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So go ahead and check that out, where you guys get your podcast from. Also, too, give us a 5-star review. Tell us what you think of the podcast. And always until next time, guys. Have a great and safe night. Thank you, Beck. Thank you, Soda, for joining me. I do appreciate that. Thank you to everybody that's been watching and also subscribing. I do appreciate that as well. And always until next time, guys. Have a great and safe night. And bye-bye.